Good morning. I thank David for inviting me this morning and for Barbara allowing me to come and use her pulpit for a Sunday. I'm going to stay around, as Lynn said, for a discussion afterwards. You can quiz me about my sermon. You can ask me about the Black Wealth Builders program. You can ask me why I identify with Zacchaeus, because I, since birth, have been of short stature. While some of you might be eager to hear the specifics of the program, the Black Wealth Builders, I first want to say that for me, there are two very important components to this endeavor. While the logistics and the implementation pieces of the Black Wealth Builders program are crucial to its success, I believe that the spiritual and faith foundation for this work needs to come first. So my sermon this morning is about the why. For our discussion, we can do the how. If this congregation at any point decides to move forward with participating in the Black Wealth Builders program, I will come back at any time to give you a hand. This sermon and the Black Wealth Builders program is about reparations. It's about restitution. It's about restorative justice. The idea of reparations for those of us in the United Church of Christ is simple, deep, and difficult. Simple. For 246 years, we as a country captured, kidnapped, and enslaved a race of people, considering them subhuman, ineligible for any rights that we afforded ourselves and others, treating them merely as property, and enriching ourselves and our economy in the process. For an additional 158 years, as of today, we've continued to treat African Americans as subhuman, offering them only the scraps from our table in healthcare, education, voting, employment, justice, housing, and so much more. In city after city, we've run freeways through the streets, relegating whole communities of Black citizens to living on the other side of the tracks. We've passed laws, policies, and practices such as redlining in this community, as well as the city of Berkeley, where I live, where redlining had its birth. What powers this engine of racism? What rationales do we use? What possible justification undergirds this obscene behavior of racism in our country? One word, and remember this word, other. Other. As a society, as a country, we have perfected the ability to see Black people as other, not us. Perhaps humanity's greatest sin is living as if we're separated from one another. In the United Church of Christ, we take as our scriptural background that they may all be one from the Gospel of John. It's the heart of Jesus' ministry. There are no margins in Jesus' world. There is only the center, the heart of God, where everybody belongs. Not just of one mind, but one. Not just of one heart, but one. Not just creations of God, but one in and with God. I worry that even in the progressive wing of Christian churches, we look at social justice activities as helping others in our world. But these other people, these slaves, were and always have been our brothers and sisters, our own flesh and blood. Their great-grandchildren are our sisters and brothers, our own flesh and blood relatives. The problem is simple, but the hurt and the damage is deep. The solution is difficult. Deep. The idea of reparations is deep. We don't quite know how to get our hands around that and our minds around that. And frankly, we are not a society or a culture or a civilization that is practiced at restitution. Ask our indigenous population. Ask your Japanese neighbors. Restitution requires us to own something that we don't know how to own. It feels too big and very unmanageable. We don't know how to own the fact that most of us hold some indirect and some direct accountability for the treatment of Black people in our country. We don't know how to own the reality that each of us engages in an economic system that actively disadvantages the Black members of our family. We don't know how to recognize and own the benefits of white privilege that so many of us have received since our birth and continue to receive every single day of our lives. A white man is stopped by a police officer. The white man feels safe. The same police officer stops a Black man, and that Black man says, "What must I do to not get shot?" That's white privilege. William Darity of Duke University says that the three elements of reparations are acknowledgement of the wrong done, payment for the wrong, closure for both parties. As a practicing pastoral counselor, I know that the first step toward any change, any transformation, is to name the harmful or unhealthy behavior. In the Christian faith, we stand on the practice of confession, repentance, forgiveness, and transformation. Confession, just naming it out loud. Repentance, fixing it, changing your ways, repairing the damage. And then forgiveness, moving forward, released from the guilt. So after we name the issue, comes the repair. Reparations and restitution. Restoring the wrongful party to wholeness. Restitution has a long biblical history. The Old Testament reading this morning from Leviticus is just one of many examples of how a just society is meant to live. Maybe you're thinking that was back then and now is now. We were not personally responsible for slavery. If that's what you're thinking, I invite you to read the Old Testament book of Ezra. For in the Old Testament book of Ezra, we learn that 70 years after Babylon took the nation of Israel into captivity, King Cyrus, two generations later, recognized that a wrong had been done to the people of Israel. And he began repatriating them to their original land and returning the items that were taken while they were held in captivity. Because the leaders who came before him had done something wrong, and he inherited that responsibility. And now we move to our New Testament reading from the Gospel of Luke, a story about what's called the Little Napoleon of Jericho, the chief tax collector. Very wealthy, very powerful, despised by the common folk who he had treated badly. He's curious about Jesus, doesn't quite know what to make about Jesus. But as he listens, I'm thinking maybe he heard about the teachings of Jesus and begins to feel a little remorse about his work and the manner in which he has enriched himself at the expense of the poor and vulnerable, those without a voice. He offers to give half of his possessions to the poor and repay fourfold for any fraud he's committed, even more than is expected by the law. What were the last words of Jesus? "Today salvation has come to this house because you too are a son of Abraham." Zacchaeus, with his household and all the people in the community, are one. Jesus is saying, these people that you cheated are not other. They are you. You are one with them. They are one. Simple, deep, difficult. Zacchaeus has done the difficult thing. He has come to understand that much of what he has doesn't belong to him. Both he and his household must restore what doesn't belong to them and repair the damage. And now comes the difficult part for us, for you and for me. Are you up for a little challenge? I learned my work ethic from my father. When I was 12 years old, I wanted a job. So my father found me a job at a nursery for a dollar a day, taking plants and loading them into people's cars. I was elated. Now at 72, I receive a pension and Social Security. I have a few dollars in a savings account. I own a home in Berkeley. I own everything in it. I have a car and a truck and two dogs. I confess I'm very attached to my possessions. I really am. But I happen to live across the street from McGee Avenue Baptist Church. It's a Black American Baptist church, and 3 days a week they serve lunches. I watch as the homeless, the working poor, and the mentally ill line up for free and hot meals. So one day I'm looking out the window at the line, and what do I see? I hear a sentence, and looking at this line of people, the sentence is screaming inside my head, "I own nothing. I own nothing. Everything I have is a gift." I reflect on the King James Version of the creation story, in which we are told that humanity has dominion over creation. And then I remember the more modern and accurate translations, stewards. We are offered creation as a loan, to enjoy, to be stewards of this creation. Here, make use of this. Care for it. Care for all of it. Be good stewards of creation. Be good stewards of what you have. It was only a loan. We own nothing. Simple, deep, difficult. The difficult piece is coming to terms with what we own, what we've accumulated, what we have, and what we do with what we have. Hear me clearly. This is not about being generous. I've been in so many meetings of people in the United Church of Christ, in churches just like this, where people are listing the things that we're doing in the community, that we're offering in the community, things that we support, and that's absolutely wonderful. That's your generosity. Reparations is not generosity. This is about spiritual transformation. This is about loosening our attachment to our possessions, those things that we've all worked hard to accumulate and build. This is about becoming one, moving to a deep sense of oneness, one with the poor, not other, one with creation, not other, one with all people and all people of different colors, not other. One with the black slaves, their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, not other. One with every black member of our family. This is about recognizing how our privilege has been at the expense of others. This is about making restitution for our actions, accidental or intentional, and the actions of those who came before us, and those injustices that were done in our name. This is about repairing the damage, the deep damage, that has been inflicted on members of our family in our name. This is what it means to follow Jesus, to do justice. We talk about love a lot, but some consider justice as love in action. Susan Russell and I started the Black Wealth Builders Fund. We started it because these two people, Susan and I, felt like we needed to repair some of the damage that we have unintentionally inflicted on the black members of our family. It seems interesting to other people as well. The implementation of this program, that's the easy part. Getting organized, that's the easy part. Making connections, that's the easy part. Raising money, that's actually pretty easy. But it starts with our own personal and spiritual reflection and the spiritual transformation into which I'm inviting each of you. Be courageous. Follow Jesus. Do justice. This is how you make things right. Amen.